In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I want to read in verse 10. And the idea that, you know, there's just some things that you can't do. And I was listening to a preacher today on the internet. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, people just don't get this truth. They really don't get it. They think somehow they're doing Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And it's absolutely fascinating to me in the Bible when you start to believe it. But he said in verse 10, he says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Now, it would be get very hard, really, if you'll put Jesus over here, Peter over here, and Paul over here, and take any subject and say, okay, what do they say about those subjects? They wouldn't be saying the same thing. So he's not saying that there wouldn't be any divisions in the Scriptures. He said there shouldn't be any divisions among the body of Christ. Y'all understand? Because obviously if we take doctrines of the Word of God and lay them in each of those categories of Jesus, Peter, and Paul, we would start to see that they're not speaking the same thing. And there would be no conflict in Galatians chapter 2 when Peter and Paul got together. Look, if you will, in Acts chapter 2. Just start out with some easy stuff. Easy stuff, not hard. A little milk. Acts chapter... Thank you there, Carlton. Sometimes I'm thought that I might throw a steak or two at you when you're young, but I just really like to see who can chew it and who can't. I can do the Heimlich, so if you get choked up, we can fix it. But in Acts chapter 2, I want you to read with me with what Peter said in verse 38, talking about salvation. Now, I'm just telling you, there's some unique things about this that is uniquely different. Watch. Peter said unto them, and by the way, the them would be in verse 36. Look in verse 36. Let all the house of Israel. Who is the them that he's talking to? All the house of who? Israel. Who was he sent to? Unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel, Matthew chapter 10, verse 6, I would put right there. That's who he was sent to. Matthew 10, verse 6. Matthew 10, verse 6 in your Bible. And then I would put the them and circle the them, and that would be the house of Israel of verse 36. Then Peter said unto them, he didn't say unto the world, he said unto them, repent. And be baptized. I believe that's water baptism. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the what? Remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. How many baptisms is that? Two. Peter promoted two baptisms in Acts 2:38. Two baptisms. Well, you would have a hard time reconciling what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4. Hold on to here and turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5. You can't do these at the same time. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5. Ephesians 4, verse 5. The Bible says, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Now, Peter was talking about two, wasn't he? Two. Two baptisms. Jesus also knew they needed two baptisms. So why does Paul say one? Is there a division there? There is a division there, isn't there? There's not a division in Paul's epistles toward what he said, and there's no division in what Peter said in that, but between Peter and Paul there is a what? A division, and that is what we are actually trying to do, is find out what is the doctrine for the church, which is the body of Christ. Y'all see? We're trying to say, okay, let's say all three of these said exactly the same thing. Then can we use those passages wherever they lie? Yeah, let's say, for example, here Paul says how many baptisms? Well, what should we teach the church? The one baptism of 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13, right? That we should teach that one baptism. You know how many churches know that one baptism? Very few. And you know why? Because they're getting a lot of their information from over here. And a lot of the confusions come from that. Go to Matthew chapter 3, what Jesus was talking about. Matthew chapter 3, it's John the Baptist speaking at the moment. And I just want you to see that he was promoting water baptism prior to Jesus even coming on the scene. I mean, Jesus, they don't even know who Jesus is. But he said in verse 11, John, says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. Well, didn't that sound like what Peter was promoting? Repent and be what? Baptized. It does sound the same. And he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear, and he shall baptize you with the what? How many baptisms is that? Huh? Well, no, with the fire, I'm not including that right now. That's two baptisms. Where did Peter learn his two baptisms from? During Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And so Peter is repeating what he learned. Where did Paul hear from Jesus? He, by direct revelation, and he had a different program, and he told him one baptism. Y'all understand? You can't reconcile those things together. That's impossible. So you have to either believe, okay, the water baptism and the baptism of the Holy Ghost is what we're going by, or the one baptism of Paul. Well, who's your apostle? How do you know? Romans 11, verse 13, Romans 15, verse 15 and 16, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7, and 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11. You know that. That's like second nature to you. You know who your apostle is. So why would your apostle be saying one baptism? Because there's one that identifies you with the body of Christ. You know when that happens? The moment you trusted Christ, you'd been baptized. No physical baptism that you could see of. There was no necessary needs of it. And the moment you believed, you were in that body. Sealed unto the day of redemption. Not only that, it's fascinating to me. Look if you will, and again, just taking Jesus at His word, go to Matthew 19. These are not complicated things. These are very simple stuff. Matthew 19 and Acts chapter 16. Matthew 19 and Acts chapter 16. Get both those passages. You're going to be flipping back and forth. Back and forth. Matthew 19 and Acts chapter 16. Look in Matthew 19. This is one of the best questions I've ever seen in the Bible. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? That's a great question. Amen? And he goes on to say, he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good. But one, that is God, and if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. You know, that's so clear that he believes in keeping the commandments of Almighty God. Well, if that is the case, I can assure you that nobody in this room is going to go to heaven. If that is the requirement, except Tony, Tony might make it, but the rest of you won't make it. Well, no, he sells Toyota. He's really down in the ditch now. I mean, 2.8 million cars recalled. They probably have less than a dozen that's had a problem. But potentials are there. We got to worry about things we can't see. Man, you know, my luck is, I buy an Avalon or one of these Camrys that had the problem, and mine would never crash. I want to crash just hard enough to sue them for millions of dollars and still be okay. Now, my luck would either be mine would never do it, or I'd hit so hard I'd be dead. You know what I mean? That's kind of the luck I have in life. You know, I don't get that in-between stuff very much. Jesus said if you were going to enter into life to do what? That's so wild, isn't it? Paul's asked that exact same question. You know what? He doesn't give keep the commandment answer. A direct comparison. Acts 16, look in verse 30. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Keep the commandments." They didn't say that. They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house." Do what? Believe? Come on, guys. Keeping the commandments and believing are two different things. Why didn't, you know, who gave that instruction to Paul? It was the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew what he said in Matthew. You know who he said that to? Israel. You know what he said to these people over here? Believe. Believe what? Believe that Jesus Christ died for all of your sins. Believe the gospel of Christ. What is the gospel of Christ? That Christ died for your sins. You know why? It's after the cross. There's been a mystery revealed. He's not preaching the same. There would be no need for Paul if there's this same gospel. You realize that if you ripped out 85 pages of your Bible, you have no body truth in this Bible at all? And just rip out the 85 pages. The body of Christ goes away. The church, the body of Christ goes away. 85 pages rips out your hope. And there is no Gentiles. Listen to me very carefully. They get saved. They get blessed. Or they get a curse. Larry said mostly curses. That's true. But when you start to compare these things, they're not saying the same thing. Well, I read in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 that we should all speak the same thing. Are they speaking the same thing? And who wrote the book? Jesus Christ wrote the book. Don't you think he knows? Yes, he does know. Yes, he does know. It's fascinating to me. There's no way that you can take these passages. Go to 1 John. Don't you love this Bible? 1 John. I believe the whole Bible. Well, look what it said in 1 John. It said the same thing as it did in Matthew. 1 John 2. Here it is. Verse 4. Verse 3. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Well, what happens if you don't keep his commandments? Then you don't know him, do you? Well, how many here keep the Sabbath day and keep it holy? Now, I got to tell you, Sunday was my birthday. And Sunday's not the Sabbath day, but if we said it was for a moment, I don't know anybody in this room that is putting a 24-hour day together for the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, Renee likes to do little Facebook, and I see Sterling occasionally trying to do Yokeville or something. Yokeville, is that it? Huh? Farmville. I don't know. Everybody's doing some, growing something, or, you know what? I don't get on the computer to do much work. I play on the computer. If I got to grow something or build a barn in cyberspace, I'm not really interested in that. People say, won't you help me? No, it's my day off. Y'all understand what he's saying? He's clear. You can't just take part of a day and say, I'm going to do it. Man, some of us would end up in hell if this is the case. He says, hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He saith, I knoweth him, and keepeth not his commandment is a what? And the truth is not in him. I mean, I don't know anybody. That, you know what I'd be saying if I was you and I thought this was me? Ruh-roh. Y'all understand? I'd be going, ruh-roh. I'd be a little bit worried about my salvation. But so not only in Peter and all those things, we hear the same echo, the same sentiment, the same thoughts going over and over and over. I want to do go to 1 Peter. Watch this. Verse 20, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. 1 Peter 2, 21. Now watch this. This is very interesting. Oh, before I go any further, can you turn to 1 Peter chapter 3 real quick and let me deal with the water baptism issue? Verse 20. Let me just deal with the baptism issue. I was going to deal with this in Acts 2:38 and forgot. Which sometimes were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. Now watch, verse 21, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now what? Do you believe water baptism saves you? No. But these people did. All right, now go back to 1 Peter chapter 2. I just wanted to bear that out about the baptism. Paul would never have said that. I mean, can you imagine Paul doing that and saying, Christ sent me not to baptize? That's like saying, Christ didn't send me to save anybody. Now watch this. Peter says this. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us, the 12 apostles, 21, 1 Peter 2, 21. Did I not say that? How many got that? I did say it. Yes, you were in Farmville, probably, putting up a structure. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. Everybody there? Thank God. About time you caught up with me. You know, I've been gone a week. I'm not used to you guys anymore. We're out of rhythm or something, you know. You know, we got to get back in that flow of things. And that worm doesn't really taste like they say it does, by the way. Verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us for an example, that you should follow His steps. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. His earthly ministry. That is, Peter is referring you to do whatever Jesus told you in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You with me? That you should follow what? His steps. You got it? That'd be very hard to do at the exact same time you're doing this. Go to 1 Corinthians to Israel. Okay, now here's Paul, your apostle. Go to 1 Corinthians. You can't follow Jesus' footsteps at the same time you're following Paul's footsteps. But look what Jesus said about Paul for you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 16. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 16. What verse? 16. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Well, if Paul's going around saying, follow me, and Peter's saying, follow the Lord, well, hold it, that creates a conflict, doesn't it? Well, which one are you going to do? Well, look in 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11. Now, didn't he tell them to keep the commandments? Peter did. How about Jesus? Didn't Jesus say keep the commandments? Verse 1. I thought you almost caught me. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Well, they say, well, see, Paul followed Christ. You just follow Paul the way he followed Christ. Well, I'm going to show you that this law thing would mess you up. He doesn't ever tell you to keep the commandments. Not one time. Not one time. Go, if you will, to Philippians chapter 3. That's Philippians. Ephesians, Philippians 3. Verse what? Verse 17. Someone's been in my class before. Great student. We don't hold it against him that he sells Toyotas. He's the best Toyota salesman I know. He sells the ones that are before the problems. He would never sell you a bad car. Right, brother? He's a used Toyota salesperson. And he would sell you a fine automobile. In fact, my next Toyota, I will buy from him. Which that may never be. But if I do buy a Toyota, my next car, I want the CLL Mercedes 550. I think I would look good in that car. I'm going to give up my Jag. I'm trading my Jag in for the Mercedes. What? Amen. He would. I got in that car. And it kind of looks like a Jag. Have you seen that new CLS 550? It's low profile. Not much good visualization, but I figure as fast as I'm going to be going, it won't really matter. You only have to worry about what's at you. Now watch, verse 17. You know, walking in grace is tough, isn't it? We get to drive Jaguars and Avalons and BMWs.
Consider what I say, Paul said. God will give you understanding. Brothers, today I've been led the wrong way.
Watch this, verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me. You see that? Well, if what Peter said in 1 Peter, look back what he said. Look in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 again. This is totally in contradiction to what he said here in 1 Peter. They are not speaking the same thing. He says, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Well, so far, Paul's saying, you follow me. Don't follow the Lord. You follow me. Okay? You follow me. He's the pattern. He's the example. Look, if you will, in 1 Timothy. I don't know what you guys would do without me. Actually, I heard Mac and I got a call from a couple of the people saying, Mac and Stan did such a fabulous job, they didn't really want me back. That's what I heard. Huh? Just stay up in Kentucky is what they told me. The people in Kentucky, they're a great group of people. Y'all get to meet them in Gunnersville. There's quite a few of them coming down. You've got to go. Got to go for the weekend. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You got to go. It's not an option, Mac. You don't have to pray about it. God wants you there. Go. I'll be here Sunday. That's only because new people might show up and I've got to be here at the church. But I'll be there Friday and Saturday all day. I'm bringing my guitar. We'll Now those people in Kentucky, they said, you know, Barry, we like your church service, but you guys can't sing worth a toot. He said, that guy that leads singing, when my wife sings one part, he'll sing her part. And then when he sings one part, she'll sing his part too. They sing probably any, I haven't heard them really sing yet. You know, but they know all the parts. I like, you know, Miss Fikes comes up there, old Renee, and she's just like, I'm an alto. Like, I even care. I don't know what an alto is. And there must be a part for it. Just sing that part. That's okay with me. Yeah, is that a Toyota? Alto? No, I don't think so. They're probably laughing their head off. They probably think we can sing, and we're faking it out just to get sympathy or something. But hey, we've got a secret weapon. She's sitting in the corner over here. She's going to help us. Well, don't worry, Elaine. Elaine is working on getting here, even if. No, well, she doesn't need to leave. She just needs to teach us how, because she knows how to sing. Yes. I'm taking mine. No. I have no idea. There'll be music. You know what I'm hoping with my new body? I'm just hoping and praying that God will give me a voice like Frank Sinatra so I can sing, hello, da-da, you know. Anyway, go to are y'all in 1 Timothy chapter 1? You guys have gotten me off message. No, sit down, settle down. What are you? You I mean, this is no way to treat me after I've been gone all week. Just get me off track. The people on the internet think we're plumb crazy. Verse 16. Now watch this. You guys up in Kentucky may not... Oh, Bobby Harris may come to the Bible conference. Well, that'd be cool. Yeah. How cool would that be? I talked to him today. 1:16. He says, howbeit for this... now you're jumping into the help, pal. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me... They just sent in a message. They were all chuckling. Thank you. It's not as funny on this end as it is on that end, I'm sure. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a what? Pattern. Who's our pattern? Not the Lord himself, not his earthly ministry of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The ministry of Romans through Philemon. Who is our example? Who's our pattern? You know, Paul. And so you've got to go to Paul to see how to interact and things like that. Isn't that fascinating? Now, you know, before you rightly divide, that doesn't make any sense at all. Why would I follow Paul? In fact, I can't tell you how many times I've witnessed to people and they said, oh, you're following Paul. Well, I believe in following Jesus. I'm like, you don't believe in following Jesus? Look in Mark 16. I mean, people are so self-righteous. You know, it almost makes me want to puke. I don't, because it might mess up my clothes. But it almost makes me want to puke. Mark 16. Now, I believe in doing what Jesus... He's my pattern. I'm going to follow him. Well, let's try a couple of those things. Because I believe Paul is your pattern. Amen? I believe he is the example that Jesus Christ left for you, the church, the body of Christ. Are you hot? Are you having a hot flash? You're lost. You need to get saved, brother. That's exactly how it feels to be lost. You're under conviction. In Mark 16, now watch this. Verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Well, that's pretty easy to fake out. Allah wapa humbata. You know, I mean, they shall take up serpents. Not nearly as fun. And if they drink any deadly thing, what? Well, if that's true today, we can follow his footsteps, right? Drink away, Clorox lovers. Right? You won't even throw up. What do you think about that, Elaine? You won't even get sick. It said if you drink any deadly thing, it will what? That's what Jesus said to people that can do that. In fact, look in John. Boy, I don't know what you guys would do without me. You better pay my medical insurance just in case. John 14, verse 12. I am so glad to be here with you guys. It's fun studying this book, isn't it? Everybody just chill out and relax. Boy, our time is almost gone. You know, up in Kentucky, we would preach, you know, they paid a lot better than you guys do. Yeah, they paid me to preach from like 8 until 1 and 2 o'clock at night. Now, if you guys would come off those wallets a little bit, I bet I could preach another hour tonight. Just a little bit. She's a good woman. She loves you. Nobody's getting off their wallet. See? An hour's enough for us. We really like an hour. Verily, verily, verse 12 there. I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Well, man, he walked on water. You want to try it? He raised the dead. You want to try it? I got a little boy in a grave I'd like to see. Well, hey, I'd be okay with just equal. You know? How about this? And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. Have you ever asked anything in the name of the Lord and he didn't do it? Amen. Then, hey, either this passage, if we're to follow him, and he tells us to do that, and we do it and it doesn't work, guess what? He either lied to us or something else has switched. Amen? Do what? I'm going down there. Boy, you are. I'd just leave him in charge one day and look at him. Taking over him. Verse 13. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. People say, well, you're tempting Jesus. No, according to the passage, if you do it, you can glorify God. How many did it say could do it? All that believe. That's why I read Mark 16:16 first, or 17 really. If you ask anything in my name, I will. How many times has he said that? Verse 15, if you love me, keep my what? Well, guys, listen. He's told you if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, isn't that funny? She wants you to put some money. She can't get her husband to do it, so she's going to the next closest husband. Now think about what he just said. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it, right? Well, why is it that Paul, who is the greatest missionary of the entire scriptures, ends up doing this? Go to 2 Corinthians 12. Watch this. Why is this? I mean, if John 14 is written to the church and Jesus is our example, then why does Paul go to the Lord and get this kind of a treatment? Y'all there? 2 Corinthians 12, and I'm going to start in verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, which was given, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. People say, well, I think his thorn in the flesh was his eyesight. Well, it says it right in the passage what it was. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Ready, everybody? The messenger of Satan to buffet me. There's a guy going around trying to deny what Paul said. Poke, poke, poke. Try to disturb his classes. Try to disrupt his teachings. Try to disrupt all that. Poke, poke, poke. And you know, so Paul says, you know, I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer. Verse 8. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Well, what did John 14 said? If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Amen? Lord, three times I'm asking you. The Lord finally said, okay, I hear you, Paul. Here's his answer. And he, the Lord Jesus Christ, said unto me, the Apostle Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. Well, that doesn't sound like what you told Peter there. And John, amen? That doesn't sound like, come on, it doesn't sound like what you wrote down there in Matthew. That's not what it sounded like that you wrote down in John. Amen? You didn't tell them, Lord, my grace is sufficient. You said anything they ask in my name, I'll do it. What do you think about that, Sterling? Put that in that old Napa pipe and smoke it. He doesn't work for Napa anymore. He's an O'Reilly man. That's why that place is running so smooth finally. No, no, not anymore. Because this program has totally interrupted that. That program has been set aside. But you're starting to see that there's a pattern here. That what Paul says, I mean, he didn't answer the Lord, Paul, and say, Paul, I'm going to answer this for you. Just boom, he'll be taken away. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. You know, Paul says, most gladly, therefore, I'll glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You know what gives God the glory is when all hell's breaking loose in your life, and you can still give him the glory. Amen. See, that's grace. That's grace. So I don't like hurting. If you were hurting for the Lord, you would. Do you realize those first century martyrs that were being fed to the lions, while those lions tore into their skins, they were singing, praising the Lord? While they were beaten, eaten alive by the lion, praise him, praise him, you know, as they ripped into their skin, giving God the glory, because you know what? They had eternal life. Nothing could take that away from them. You know what? Peter and them didn't have eternal life. Paul did, though. 85 pages, you rip them out of your Bible, no eternal life in this book. Put them back in, you got eternal life, only for those that are the members of the body of Christ. He said that we should all speak the same thing. Well, you can't speak the same thing that Jesus spoke. You can't speak the same thing that Peter spoke. You've got to follow your apostle, Paul. He's your pattern, he's your example, he's your teacher, he's your preacher. He's say, well, I thought you were my teacher. I just pointed to the teacher. The teacher is Paul. Not only that, and fascinating to me. Aren't you fascinated now? If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Well, that's funny. Go to, hang on, my mind's gone. Give me just a second. Where does it talk about the wine? Use a little wine. Here it is. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Well, it's somewhere in there. Thank you. I got it. 23. 1 Timothy 5, verse 22. 1 Timothy 5, verse 22. Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partakers of other men's sin. Keep thyself pure. Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake. Well, why don't you heal him, Timothy? I mean, Paul. Why don't you heal your buddy Timothy? Come on, buddy, if you ask it in my name, I will do it. Oh, use a little wine. Well, you know that guy's a Southern Baptist for sure there. There wouldn't be any independent Baptist that would even... That wine has never touched my lips. It'd be... Here it is, just a second. What wine? Amen? He told Timothy to use the little wine. Now, you don't want to be like Larry and use a lot, but use a little wine. More like Mac. Mac's a good example. You know wine's actually good for you? I think about 5 glasses of wine and all your troubles go bye-bye. You all understand? He didn't run over there and heal him. If you ask anything in my name, he told Timothy to do what? Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thy often infirmities. Wow. Man, don't come to me and ask me, I've got a little stomach ache. You know, I might have to give you the same advice Paul did. Use a little wine. I would never, ever touch wine. Never, not me. For I'm holier than thou. Okay, just stay sick. Why, drinking wine would be a sin. Oh, Paul just told Timothy to be a little sinner. I got a hint for you. Timothy was a sinner before Paul ever got to him. You know, listen, I don't know about you, but I'm not really confused about this. When I see 2 black people and they have a child, you know what I expect? A black child. I mean, I'm not like freaked out, you know, like, wow. I thought he was coming out orange. Then 2 white people to get together, you know. I don't expect green children. You know what color I'm expecting? White. Well, there are some. Wonder. Huh? Yes. I can tell you why. Somewhere in that lineage. Yeah. I want that DNA. That's what the husband says. Where was I that night? Hey, guys, listen to me. Listen to me very carefully. When 2 humans get together, they have little sinners. Timothy was a sinner before Paul ever got to him. We are all sinners. All have sinned. But what I'm trying to say is that he's not making him sin. He's trying to help his often infirmities. And he didn't lay hands on him and heal him, and he didn't go around talking to him. Why all of a sudden? Well, you know why? Because at this point in the Bible, Paul isn't doing any signs. There's no need for it. The Jews are completely... The Jews were completely set aside. You can't follow Jesus' footsteps. He said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. You can ask all the day long. Stand over your loved ones' bodies that have died. He won't resurrect them. Not on your voice, not on your command. See, we are supposed to speak the same thing as in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We're all supposed to be speaking what Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, taught us. And if we did that, we would all speak the same thing. There wouldn't be multiple baptisms. There wouldn't be a confusion whether you can go to heaven or hell based upon your works. If we promoted those 85 pages the way they were actually written, I went into art where Elaine works. And Brandon said, I don't want to go to a church that condemns. He's the guitar technician guy there. And Elaine says, you won't get that at our church. You know why? We're all the same boat, guys. There ain't none good. And if it wasn't for the mystery, if it wasn't for the gospel of the grace of God, if it wasn't for the gospel of Christ, that Christ had died for my sins, you're looking at a guy that would never have made it. Period. You know what? We've got great hope. In fact, our hope is so pure and so well-defined that people that get in it find joy. You know what the fruit of the Spirit is? Love, peace, joy, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness. Against their, you know, they'd have those things. People say, why are you so happy? Renee always says, you're so happy on Facebook. You know why? I've got a Savior, guys. I am not going to hell. Amen. I want other people to enjoy that. Say, well, I just think you never really can know if you're saved. Well, then you don't know the gospel of Christ. Because if you knew all your sins were forgiven, and guys, listen, this is hard to believe. I know. You're looking at me, and I'm not, all my righteousness are as filthy rags. But you know what? You're looking at a person that is the righteousness of God. Not because I'm good, but He gave me His righteousness. He gave me it as a gift, Romans 5 says. You don't find that. You don't find in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus handing out the gifts of righteousness. You know, the only place that you find Jesus Christ handing out the gift of righteousness is in Romans through Philemon. That's it. And you can take that gift and it's yours, and you're as righteous as God. Not based upon you doing anything or saying anything, but upon that gift that He provided at the cross. That's in 85 pages. Why would you not want to rightly divide the word of truth? What is it? One of the girls up in Kentucky, and those guys were arguing with me, says, why would you want to go back there? Why would you want to go back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? And I got one verse I want to end on, and we're just about out of time. Go to Galatians, and we'll end. Go to Galatians chapter 4. Well, actually, two passages in Galatians. Would you pick that book up, Hannah, that Renee kept trying to throw it? Sure you were. Galatians 4. Now watch this. You know what? If it wasn't for the blood of Jesus Christ and the mystery that Christ died for our sins, not a person hearing my voice, whether they're on the internet or in this room or across the planet that hears it in Pile Talk and all the places that people are airing our program, we have about 15 or 20 people airing programs all over in different forums. Look in verse 16. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Why are you mad at me? Well, I just don't like Barry. Really, I don't like him either. He's a stinker. But he's saved. Look down in verse 20. He says, I desire to be present with you and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? See, Jesus told a man if he was going to keep the commandments, you ought to say, man, that's tough. But that man had one advantage over you. You know what he could do? He could offer a blood sacrifice that you couldn't offer. He could take to that temple because the temple was still there and would have to still take that temple and offer a blood sacrifice. In fact, Jesus told a man after he'd healed him to go offer a testimony that Moses required, which was a blood sacrifice. Now, nobody even preaches that verse. But why, after you hearing grace, would you want to go back under the law and under the yoke of bondage when you've been set free? Why? What would make you desire that? And walking in grace is the hardest thing I know to do. You know why? It's like rollerblading or ice skating. Boy, that law is that rim that you hang on to. You know how most people skate when they go into the ice rink down at the mall? They go like this. You know? When you get out there, you're unsure of yourself. You're not sure what you can get, and you're crashing. But eventually, if you just keep skating in the middle, next thing you know, it's like... You know? And grace is really good. Amen? But after you learn how to skate like that, why would you ever want to hang onto the wall again? And that's what people are doing. Finally been set free and someone's finally taught them to skate. And they go, well, I need the wall. And you're thinking, you don't really get it, do you? What Paul said in 85 pages to you is unique. To the church, the body of Christ. It's your marching orders. He's your example. He's your pattern. And if we all repeated the same thing Paul said, we'd all be speaking the same thing. But you can't speak what Jesus said and what Peter said and what Paul said and be all speaking the same thing. You see the problem? All right, I'm done.